Chapter 2 Lena looks relieved when Kara catches up with her in the ballroom, giving her a thorough once-over before reaching for Kara's hands. "Are you feeling okay?" she asks as she studies them, seeming particularly interested in her fingernails.
"Sure,"
Kara says, suddenly at a loss for what to do with her hands when Lena releases them, putting one warm palm against the side of Kara's throat. The broad pad of Lena's thumb presses gently under Kara's eye.
"Is everything...
Kara stammers, her entire body going rigid when Lena leans in close and takes a deep breath.
"Are you... I'm sorry. Are you... smelling me?"
"Hey! Hey!"
Alex barks.
"Is she getting handsy? Because if she's looking for a wire, that's like the oldest trick in the book."
"I'm sorry,"
Lena says. She steps back with a flustered little huff, still regarding her skeptically.
"I only... You're sure you're all right? You took off in such a hurry. You're not nauseous or anything. In need of fresh air?"
"Not at all,"
Kara says.
"I was, you know, doing my job. Chasing sources, getting a sense of the place, gathering fun little anecdotes to illustrate..."
"Kara,"
Alex warns.
"Right.
How about you?"
Kara asks, making a half-hearted gesture in the direction the demustachioed waiter had disappeared in.
"Making new friends?"
Lena sighs as if it's the first full breath she's taken all day, a hard muscle flexing at her jaw.
"More like catching up with old enemies,"
she says, leaning on Kara's shoulder to adjust one of her uncomfortable-looking heels.
"I wasn't expecting to see so many dreadfully familiar faces here tonight. I'm half afraid my mother will show up next."
Something prickles at the back of Kara's neck. For a moment, she assumes it's excitement. She does have an insatiable desire to learn everything she possibly can about the woman who's presently, pleasantly, resting most of her weight on her. So the idea of getting to meet Lena's mom in the flesh is sort of awesome, in that way. But then Alex wheezes, abandoning basic listening skills in favor of jumping to conclusions, as always.
"Lillian Luther is coming."
And Kara realizes the woman Lena is talking about is also Lex's mother, the rarely if ever photographed but very outspoken advocate for the same anti-alien agenda her son is still pushing from behind his ornately welded, because wealthy criminals get opulent cells, prison bars. And that dims her excitement somewhat.
"Well,"
she chuckles nervously, with an emphasis she hopes Alex will pick up on, "if that were to happen... at least we wouldn't have to worry any longer about you being the evening's most noteworthy guest."
Kara's anxiety must come through in her tone, because Lena looks up at her and says,
"Oh, no, I wasn't serious. My mother is abroad, doing business in Dubai." She rights herself with a self-deprecating little grimace, adjusting the shoulder of Kara's jacket where she pulled it out of place. "I actually checked."
"For what it's worth,"
Wynne pitches in,
"the loathsome Dr. Luther is indeed not on the guest list, and the facial recognition software I'm running on the lobby security footage hasn't shown any matches either." "Can you review and make absolutely sure of that?"
Alex asks.
"Because two Luthers attending a fundraiser for the very openly alien president of the United States would definitely be something the Secret Service would like to know about." "Yeah, it's just... the AI's running the full perimeter and trying to finish decoding the threat we intercepted, so give it a minute,"
Wynne says.
"Also, devil's advocate, but couldn't this work in our favor?"
He sounds as if he's expecting to get slapped for saying it, but that's sort of his natural state when Alex is in the room.
"The littlest Luther is with Kara, and as far as we can tell, she's unarmed. If Mummy Dearest does show up, wouldn't she think twice about getting all mass murdery while her daughter and their target are in the same room?" "Really, Wynne,"
Alex says dryly,
"do I need to remind you that Lex and Lena were inside the kill-slash-courtroom when Lex poisoned the air, and that both of them somehow escaped the massacre completely unscathed?"
Kara stares at Lena as Alex's remark sinks in, seeing, perhaps for the first time, the way the full weight of her family's legacy rests on her shoulders. It's like an invisible yoke, or a pillory. Lena looks so soft and vulnerable beneath it, in her sultry makeup and devastating green dress, that Kara feels like she'd help her dethrone the president herself and put Lena in her place, if Lena asked her to. Which she won't, because Lena is good, obviously.
"I'm sorry," Kara tells her. I know a thing or two about being haunted by the people who raised us, she adds, with teeth-gritting emphasis, even when they aren't here. It's okay, Lena sighs. I would just really like to stop running into people I hoped I'd never have to speak to again. She gives her a warm smile before adding, You, Kara Danvers, have been a very welcome exception. So stick with me, Kara decides. I'll be your social buffer. She swallows as she offers Lena her arm, remembering Wynne's remark about anti-Durlan weaponry. Or your human shield. Lena blinks at her, and then snorts unexpectedly, her laughter bubbling out brighter than Kara thinks she deserves. I'd hope to do a little better than a human shield tonight, she says, her voice rich with humor. Alex scoffs.
I bet she did. Not sure I understand her angle, though,
Wynne muses.
Is this her secret weapon? Is she planning to flirt our commander-in-chief to death after she takes out Supergirl?
Kara is so busy mentally giving both Alex and Wynne the finger that she almost misses Lena going stiff beside her, her eyes fixed on the crowd. What is it? Kara asks gently. More old enemies? Actually, Lena meets Kara's eyes only briefly. I'm so sorry, I really should. A worried crease appears between her brows, but when Kara follows her eyeline, she sees nothing but a bunch of blowhard billionaires and their bored-looking child brides. Use the little girl's room. Lena winces.
That sounds an awful lot like she's trying to shake you off,
Alex warns.
Kara, I swear, if you let her out of your sight, I'm never baking you those macadamia nut cookies again.
Kara panics. Not the macadamia nut cookies. Do you want some company? She blurts. Lena stares at her for a baffled beat. I mean, Kara winks with both of her eyes, first one and then the other, hoping she can charm her way through the situation. I am your bodyguard, after all, she says. It's my job to keep you safe. Lena's eyebrows tick up, pressing more attractive lines into her forehead. Do you think the waterfall faucets might pose a threat to my well-being? She asks. Or is it the automatic hand dryers that have you worried? Sure. Or... Kara thinks for a minute. I mean, we're on the East Coast. There's a genuine risk of running into a sewer alligator. Lena bites her lip to keep from smiling, and fails. And you're telling me you'd know what to do if we were faced with one of those? I'm a little hurt you assume I don't, Kara argues in mock offense, winking again to make sure Lena knows she's joking. Maybe I like to do a bit of wrestling in my free time. Alex groans the way she does when she rolls a critical miss at game night.
I'm never sending you on an undercover mission again, she says. I don't care who dies.
Lena blinks at Kara a few times, fast, and then once more, very slowly. Kara grins at her, unflinching. Sorry, Lena says. You're just... I didn't think. Her ears have turned a deep shade of pink. She takes a slow breath through her nose and then says, enunciating carefully, one eyebrow arched, I'm not saying no. Wait. You're just... Lena halts again. When she continues, it's close to a whisper, A little more forward than I've come to expect. And this isn't really the time or the place. Kara reels back, so startled she barely hears Alex swearing or Wynne's incredulous bark of laughter. Kara wasn't. She wouldn't. She would never even dream. And also, holy three G's guacamole, why does it look like Lena is seriously considering taking Kara up on her accidentally indecent proposal? Oh, no. Go. Kara hears herself yelp. I mean, She gestures broadly, mortified, stepping aside to give Lena room to pass. Go right ahead. I'll guard the desserts instead. Lena flits away, a blur of beautiful bewilderment, and Kara knows, theoretically, that Alex is yelling in her ear. But all Kara hears is a persistent, high-pitched ringing, which only intensifies when she actually zeroes in on those desserts. Food has always been Kara's favorite way to cope. With anything, really. And although she has no way of knowing whether the strategy will be helpful in the event of Lena Luthor, the woman who has been on her mind pretty much nonstop since the day they met, very significantly not saying no,
Kara is eager to give it a try. She grabs a generous handful of mini fruit tarts, and she's about to stuff all of them into her mouth at once, when someone speaks up behind her. I've always been a fan of those, myself. It's an older woman, Kara sees when she turns. She's tall, elegant, impeccably dressed, and she smiles, as Alex would describe it, as if she just bribed a Supreme Court judge. Kara's hand hangs between them, an uncouth claw strangling its sugary prey. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry, she rushes. For a fleeting, manic moment, Kara considers offering the woman the half-crushed pastries in her hand. She shoves them into her jacket pocket instead. Everything here just looks, Kara explains, pausing to surreptitiously wipe away the crumbs, so delicious. The woman raises an oddly unperturbed and uncannily familiar eyebrow at that. A flatterer, she croons, to Kara's mortification. And then, even more disastrously, tell me, do you flirt with all the girls, or should I feel special? Kara has never been happier not to have food in her mouth. She chokes on air as a pair of cool gray eyes pins her in place. That's, she stammers, fumbling for a response. I mean, not exactly what... The woman leans down close enough that Kara can see the glint in her eyes. Oh, don't spoil it, dear, she says, her voice practically a purr. It's so rare these days that I'm accosted by such a handsome young thing. She takes her time to look Kara up and down. Especially one as enigmatic as yourself, she assesses. Wynn says, sounding nervous.
Do we think there might be something in the air in D.C.? Alex? Alex! Get your fingers out of your ears. This is important. Is this what pink kryptonite exposure looks like? For the last time,
Alex grinds out,
pink kryptonite isn't real. Superman just made that up as an excuse for his...
Kara coughs again, taking a small step back and then another.
Enigmatic?
She chuckles, loud and awkward. I don't think anyone's ever called me that before.
Oh, I doubt that.
The woman smirks, closing the distance Kara just created in one stride. You look like someone who is intimately familiar with the art of keeping secrets. A fierce blush crawls hot and itchy over the back of Kara's scalp. She'd rather be trapped in the Phantom Zone for 25 more years, she thinks, than spend another second in this woman's company.
Was that your date I saw you talking to just now? The woman asks, winking. I would think she'd know better than to leave you unattended.
Kara's gaze flickers to the hallway, leading to what Lena had referred to as the little girl's room. It's a reflex, an automatic thing. It's also what alerts Kara to the fact that it's not at all the direction that Lena had actually disappeared in. The woman hums. On second thought, maybe it's your date who can't be trusted to be left alone. Kara follows her eyeline, and there is Lena, at long last, seated at a darkened corner of the bar. There's someone with her.
Best run along, the woman says, before melting back into the crowd.
Kara stares, unpleasantly surprised at the force with which the sight hits her. The woman who has captured Lena's attention is a gorgeous, willowy brunette. She's wearing a pair of elegant, thin-rimmed glasses and a dazzling platinum dress that puts an alarming amount of skin on scandalous display. Halfway across the country, Alex is pacing the room.
Supergirl, she hisses, could you please stop getting sidetracked by dessert and find Lena Luthor? Wynn and I are still flying blind here.
Oh, yeah, I...
Kara clears her throat when it comes out hoarse.
I see her. She's at the bar.
Always thought your talents were wasted on academics, the woman accosting Lena is saying, the volume of her voice so low even Kara has trouble hearing her. Lena's answer comes, impossibly, even softer. Funny, she hums into her glass. I always thought yours were wasted on my brother.
Lex.
Kara feels a little lightheaded at Lena mentioning him so offhandedly. So that's it then, for the evening. Kara is no longer Lena's only friendly face in the crowd. This woman must be Lena's mysterious... Not sure I can call it a date.
Good,
Alex says.
Don't lose her again.
Kara has no problem following her sister's orders this time. Her superpowered earshot is already bleeding out across the ballroom, as unstoppable as red wine soaking into a cotton tablecloth.
"Did you're still trying to convert me?" Lena is telling the alluring interloper. "I would think you'd know better by now."
"It does feel a little like old times, doesn't it?" the brunette replies smoothly, her eyes glinting in the low light. "With you pretending you're saying no, and me seeing right through you."
Lena hums, taking another sip from her drink. "How fortuitous that you've always known me so much better than I know myself."
"So, Wynne,"
Alex says, as Kara tries very hard not to scowl and gag.
"What are the odds you'll get your AI to wrap up those facial recognition scans within the next 500 years?
Wynne lets out a miffed little sound, his computer keys clacking rapidly beneath his fingers.
"You know what always helps me when I'm trying to do the impossible?"
he asks.
"Sarcasm,"
Alex quips. Kara does her best not to focus on the sound of their bickering, to reel her superhearing back in and away from the bar. She really shouldn't be snooping on her friend. And also, no one asked her, but if Kara did get to have a very humble opinion about it, she'd say the dynamic between Lena and her date seems pretty incredibly toxic, just from where she's standing. Of course, as soon as Kara sees her new nemesis lean close into Lena's personal space, she loses what little control she'd managed to claw back.
"Really think those games would still work on me?" Lena asks. But she's smiling when she says it. Leering, really, in a way Kara hasn't seen before and isn't sure she likes.
"Honey," the brunette croons, low and breathy, "they haven't failed me yet." She brushes one fingertip down Lena's arm, smiling when Lena doesn't move away. "What do you say we continue this conversation somewhere more private?" Kara steps behind a pillar, turning her back on the agonizing display. The worst thing is that she can't even reasonably blame this beguiling new bane to her existence. Of course she'd be looking for a way to get Lena all to herself. Kara knows better than anyone how impossible it is to resist Lena's gravitational pull. She can't imagine not wanting to get closer to her, to Wynne her undivided attention, to dive deep into her delectable mind. Of course, if it was up to her, she and Lena wouldn't be schmoozing at the bar. They would be revisiting the buffet instead, and Kara would suggest they bring their plates out to the garden. They could stretch out on the grass and watch the lights, the sky, the stars, listen to the live jazz music trickling out from the ballroom inside. Kara would finally, finally eat and watch Lena come alive the way she always does when she's speaking about L-Corp's latest designs, and they'd sit so close that Lena's perfume would mix with the honeysuckle and the delicious aroma of Kara's pot stickers. Kara can practically taste it now. The way the soft, tender dough would yield as she'd sink her teeth in, the burst of flavor of the hot center spilling out over her tongue. When her earpiece crackles back to life, and Kara blinks back to reality, Lena and her mystery sutras are nowhere to be seen.
"Kara,"
Alex says, her tone suddenly urgent and alarmed.
"Can you confirm that Luther's alone?"
Kara freezes, thinking of her sister's earlier threat about the macadamia nut cookies. She says, trying to figure out where the two women could have disappeared off to so quickly.
"Define alone?"
Alex huffs.
"Is she talking to anyone in particular?"
she asks.
"Anyone that sticks around beyond the usual, 'Hi, how are the kids and your recent billion-dollar backroom deals?' kind of bullshit?"
In a sudden stroke of inspiration, sparked by pure despair, Kara uses her X-ray vision to scan beyond the ballroom's walls. And then she immediately wishes she hadn't. Her super senses hone in straight away on Lena and the brunette. They're slipping into the bridal getting-ready room at the other end of the hall, the lock engaging with a sharp click that makes Kara physically flinch. She turns away, heart aching, cheeks burning, wishing she could press her hands against her ears without looking like a lunatic.
Maybe?
She whimpers at Alex, unsure how to explain to her sister that Lena appears to be hooking up. Moments after informing Kara it wasn't the time or the place.
Besides, it's not like Lena and the brunette are really talking anymore.
There's a muffled, feminine sound from the locked room, sure. A half-groan, half-curse that Kara tries very hard not to let her imagination run off with. But surely that's not anything Alex needs to know about.
Fuck,
Alex says, echoing Kara's sentiments exactly.
Wynne, how did we miss this?
Kara hears a thud, like padded furniture bumping against the wall, and then another moan, louder this time. When her sister speaks up again, Kara nearly falls to her knees in gratitude for the distraction she's offering her.
Supergirl,
Alex snarls.
Wynne's artificial idiocy just re-evaluated the lobby security footage taken earlier tonight, and now it's showing that there are two known anti-alien mercenaries on site. Mercy and Otis Graves? Do those names ring a bell?
No, Kara says, her heart rate picking up with something that feels a shameful lot like anticipation. Fine, she admits, she'd pick literally anything else, including an actual attempt on the president's life, over standing here and having to listen to whatever is happening in the getting ready room.
They're siblings,
Alex briefs her.
The brothers dressed as one of the waitstaff. Big scary eyebrows, stupid fake mustache.
Oh no.
Mercy, well, she...
Alex sighs.
She looks like every other woman there, save maybe for the fact that she's a brunette. Glittery dress, big lips, skinny everything else. Cheekbones for days.
Oh, shoot. Kara is down the hallway in a blink, headed straight for the locked door Lena has disappeared behind. She's so blinded by worry that she almost knocks over the woman stepping out the door and into her path. A woman who, Kara only realizes after a heartbeat, is Lena. Kara straightens. Lena, hey, she says, putting one hand on her cocked hip and adjusting her glasses with the other, perfectly casual and human-like. Kara! Lena blinks at her, eyes wide and a little breathless. Her hair isn't quite as immaculate, her makeup smudged at the corner of one eye, but, Kara notes with unexamined interest, the outline of her lipstick is as sharp as ever. Are you all right? Kara asks. You look... stunning. The slight dishevelment somehow only adds to her allure. You look, like I've seen a ghost. Lena huffs out a bitter laugh. Yeah, you could say that. Kara quickly scans the bridal room while Lena's back is turned, but there is no sign of the brunette. She may as well have faded into the floorboards. Yeah, Kara says. I thought I saw you with... She hesitates, knowing that sharing her observation with Alex means she's practically signing Lena's arrest warrant herself. A brunette, she says, defeated. In a glittery dress?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Alex yelps.
You saw Mercy Graves and she was with Lena Luther?
Kara swallows. She'd seen Lena with both siblings, she realizes now. But revealing that much would probably make Alex spontaneously combust, meaning Kara would never taste those macadamia nut cookies again. Also, she's witnessed the hair trigger the Secret Service is on firsthand, and Kara jumping in front of a couple hundred bullets to save Lena, while she's wearing her civilian clothes, feels like it would raise some questions she isn't quite sure she's ready to answer yet. She's an old friend, Lena hums absently as they start heading back to the party. She wasn't feeling well, so I encouraged her to leave. Sure, Kara assesses. That sounds credible. More or less. Any old friend of Lex's would likely have been part of Lena's life as well. And even if Mercy Graves was involved in some nefarious design, well, if Lena didn't know about it, could anyone blame her for being polite and saying hi? Lena's fiddling with her chunky wristwatch again. Kara watches as the piece of tech returns to its previous, more elegant shape. It's pretty nifty, Kara thinks, the kind of gadget Wynne would love to get his hands on. When Kara meets Lena's eyes again, she's studying her carefully, her brow knitted in concentration. Kara, were you... Lena stops and glances behind her, to the door at the end of the hall, and then returns the full force of her attention back to Kara. Did you follow us here?
Supergirl, listen,
Alex says.
I know all of this is hard for you to digest.
What an unnecessarily spiteful choice of words when she's this deep in her malnourished era, Kara thinks.
But your priority right now is to keep Lena contained until we can get the Secret Service involved. Do not escalate.
Kara stares at Lena for a few beats, quietly weighing her options between maintaining her cover or wrapping Lena in her arms and flying her somewhere safe. It feels like a logical compromise to ask, "Do you want to dance?" The line to the DEO headquarters is quiet, but Kara chooses to interpret it as the sound of her sister's grudging approval. Lena looks just as surprised as Kara is by her own brilliant improvisation, but after a moment she takes the hand Kara offers her and lets herself be led onto the dance floor. Kara has no idea what she's doing. Dance lessons weren't part of Alex's how-to-human summer camp, but Lena doesn't seem to mind, or to notice that Kara cheats a little, hovering an inch or so above the ground to keep herself from stepping on Lena's toes. She smiles at her as Kara guides her through a sequence of steps that only vaguely resemble something Kara once saw on TV. She giggles, even, when Kara coaxes her into a clumsy spin. It's actually kind of a lot, all at once. When Kara reels Lena back in, her hands slip around Kara's neck without hesitation, leaving nowhere for Kara to rest her own aside from Lena's hips, and for a few endless moments, they become the only thing Kara can focus on. The material of Lena's dress is even softer than she'd imagined, with the smoothness of her skin and the warmth of her body beneath it. And Kara doesn't know if it's just her, but impossible as it seems, all of this is making her even hungrier. Alex sounds haggard when she comes back through.
"We're having trouble getting patched through to the proper channels," she says, "so we still don't have access to the live security footage. Is there any way you can point us to the Grave siblings' locations?"
Lena wasn't lying about sending Mercy home, Kara discovers. She leads Lena into a full turn so she can scan the building as well as the grounds to make sure, but there's not a single sign of the brunette, or of the brother with the fake mustache. Which means Alex has little more to offer the Secret Service than her own prejudices. Which means she's not only going to make a fool of herself and the DEO to the United States government, again, she's also putting Lena in grave danger, for absolutely no logical reason. "So," Kara ad-libs with emphasis, aiming it at Lena, even though Alex is the one she's actually addressing. It really is just you here tonight, huh?" Lena's eyes are half-shuttered behind those charcoal lashes. They flit over the crowd again, at the skies beyond the ballroom windows, but return to Kara almost immediately this time. "Looks like it," she says.
"That doesn't make any sense,"
Alex mutters.
"They were there less than 45 minutes ago, and none of the footage shows them leaving."
"And you're just here having a good time, right?" Kara enunciates, a little desperately now. She wishes, the way she often does, that some new superpower would reveal itself to her, like the ability to communicate with Alex telepathically, or to summon a large beef lasagna at will. "Much better than I thought I would, all things considered." The smile Lena gives her is completely different from the smile she had watched her give Mercy at the bar. It's dimpled and warm and genuine. But Kara would swear it conveys a similar invitation. Lena's voice dips low, and Kara can feel it in all the places where their bodies connect. "How about you?" Lena asks. "Did you get everything you wanted out of the evening?"
"What?"
Kara rasps. She had no idea it was possible for her heart to feel dizzy, but she's having all sorts of revelations tonight. Lena gives her a darkly chastising look. "Come on, Kara," she coaxes. "There's no need to keep up the act with me."
"Well, thank fuck for that,"
Alex says.
"At least we're finally all on the same page." "Hey, Kara,"
Wynne asks without interrupting his typing.
"When you're done playing Johnny to Lena Luthor's Jennifer Grey, could you ask her exactly how long she's known your Supergirl? I stand to win like $1 million if my hunch is... Oh, hey, Sandra, it's Winslow. Girl, I know, but listen, we're in a little bit of a bind here."
Kara ignores him and Alex both. Because Lena doesn't know. Amidst the evening's revelations and everything that's shifted between them, Lena not knowing Kara's Supergirl is like the only thing she's still sure of. Which leaves only one thing Lena can possibly be circling back to: Kara's unintentional proposition earlier. "Kara," Lena says, her voice a gentle tease, "are you blushing?" The saxophone goes off on a solo tangent, and in the face of the impending ruination of their friendship, with her sister and her best friend listening in live, all Kara can think to do is spin Lena again. She turns her in a series of whirls, the pliant, weightless shape of her yielding willingly at the direction of Kara's hand, and Kara can only stare, breathless at the sight of her, smiling brightly, free, unburdened, while the rest of it, the crowd, the music, the mission, all turns into background noise. Until, that is, Alex's voice reaches a volume Kara is able to hear even without the aid of her comms device. She sounds agitated, but not in a frightened way, more like she's in the middle of a victory dance.
"We got her!"
she shouts.
"Wynn managed to trace the message back to its source. Kara, the threat to the president's life came from Lena Luther herself."
"No." Kara shakes her head imperceptibly, stubborn. "No way. It's ridiculous. Lena wouldn't harm a fly. Like, literally. This is the woman who, upon developing a tiny transmitter portal, had marketed it as an affordable bug trap that safely teleports all creepy crawlers back outside."
"Supergirl?"
Alex urges.
"Do you copy?"
In her consternation, Kara has forgotten that Lena has a far more intimate relationship with gravity than she does. She doesn't realize she's been spinning her at nearly the same speed as her own mind until Lena swoons, until Kara's hand, at her lower back, is all that's keeping Lena from falling flat on her ass. Everything goes quiet for a moment. Lena is 2 inches from the floor and breathing hard, pushing the boundaries of the already struggling neckline of her dress. The entire length of her body is pressed against Kara's own, and Kara can feel the push and pull of Lena's belly, rising and falling in time with her accelerated breaths. "My hero," she whispers at Kara, the beginnings of a smirk casting a crescent shadow at only one corner of her mouth. Kara's heart jumps into her throat. Because Lena knows, doesn't she? She knows. And, golly, couldn't that mean there may be other things about Lena that Alex has been right about? Alex is talking so fast now that Kara needs to use her super speed to keep up.
"The threat went out from Lena's own device, her personal account."
Alex races ahead, heedless of her sister's imploding worldview.
"And shit, Marsden isn't her only target. There's stuff in here about capturing Supergirl, leaving no witnesses, testing your vulnerabilities. Fuck! You could be in real, actual danger, Kara."
Kara's heart starts pounding. At her sister's warning, at Lena's warm body still suspended in Kara's grip, at the word Lena just called her, and the rock-solid belief that if Lena was truly evil, there is no way she would be looking at Supergirl with such affection in her eyes.
"The presidential convoy is pulling up to the venue right now,"
Wynn whines,
"and Sandra at the Secret Service keeps refusing to connect my calls." "It gets worse,"
Alex says.
"Lena lied. Guess who is very definitely not in Dubai?"
Kara swallows around the sudden dryness in her throat and blurts, "Lillian Luther?" Lena's eyes go wide as saucers. "What?" She tries to twist from Kara's grip, glancing around frantically to see what she believes Kara must be seeing. Where?
"So now we have one homicidal Luther rubbing elbows with a wanted anti-alien terrorist, and another mysteriously unaccounted for,"
Alex recaps.
"Is that finally enough evidence for you? Or are you going to argue that this is all some sort of bizarre coincidence?"
"Kara, let me up," Lena demands. "I have to speak to her." A trap, Kara thinks, tightening her grip on Lena's waist to stop her struggling, pulling her upright to prevent her from launching herself to the floor. Someone is setting Lena up. That has to be what's happening here. Wynn howls.
"I just don't understand. My software is supposed to catch everything, but first it somehow misses 2 of the DEO's most wanted because, what, they're wearing glasses and a fake... Sandra, don't hang up on me again." "Fuck Sandra, fuck the lot of them,"
Alex orders.
"As always, we'll just have to go in guns blazing and save the day ourselves."
Kara can't think, doesn't fully realize what she's doing until she's already carried Lena halfway down the hall. Lena is leveraging all of her weight against Kara's grip, shrieking, "Wait, where are we going?" and "Kara, put me down!" Kara ignores her protests. She's acting on pure protective instinct, knowing only that she needs to get Lena as far away, from the president, from Alex's half-cocked attack, from her lover's, her mother's, her own evil plot, as possible. Once they're outside, beneath the fairy lights, Kara parks Lena behind the concrete backsplash of the outdoor grill, pinning her hips with her own to keep her from getting away. Fuck, Lena says, panting. She pushes at Kara's biceps, then presses her palms against her sternum, trying to twist out of her hold.
How are you so strong?
Which is funny, because wasn't Lena supposed to have worked out that Kara is Supergirl?
Wait, Kara blinks at her.
You don't know? Lena stops struggling to give Kara a furiously confused look.
Know what?
Kara shrinks back from her a little. The two parallel veins that run up the length of Lena's forehead stand out much more prominently when she's mad.
Lena, she says, there's something I should tell you.
Lena's expression turns plaintive at Kara's words. Vulnerable. Almost tender. For a brief, hungering moment, Kara lets the rest of the world fall away. The looming threat, the secrets they've both been keeping, and simply drinks in the vision of Lena Luthor without her usually impenetrable mask. But Lena refuses to indulge Kara's fantasy for very long.
Oh God, she whispers. She isn't coming.
The question makes all of the tiny hairs on Kara's body stand on end.
Who? She breathes. Mercy Graves? Or your mother?
Kara watches the color drain from Lena's face, but her voice is disturbingly cool when she asks,
How do you know that name?
I saw you, Kara dodges. I thought she was your date. Lena's nose wrinkles in disgust.
What?
No, that's not... She pauses, shaking her head awkwardly.
Mercy's out. She's gone. Both of them are. I thought I...
And then we could just... But if Lillian is...
Is this bitch capable of finishing a fucking sentence?
Alex hisses. But Lena appears to be spiraling, her mind moving faster than her mouth. Kara can't relate. Her brain is dragging, burdened with the knowledge that if Lena continues hinting at her own involvement in their villainous plot, Alex will, one, have Lena's confession on record, and two, likely make Kara listen to it on loop for the next 5 to 10 years.
Can you slap her or something?
Alex suggests.
Nothing too harsh, obviously, but hard enough to, like, snap her out of it? Get her to come clean?
Kara clenches her fists. Both of her sister's suggestions are the exact opposite of what Kara now realizes she must do.
You need to let me go,
Lena says, suddenly lucid, her eyes pleading as she starts fighting against Kara's hold.
You're safe here. You should stay. But if the cavalry isn't coming, that means I'm the only one who can make sure the president is...
Kara kisses her. Yep, and just in time, too. It's graceless, hot and startling, but it's the only thing Kara can think to do to keep Lena from confessing and joining her brother behind those wrought iron bars. But also, Kara kisses her. And after a moment where it feels like nothing more than a rough collision meant to, quite effectively, shut her up, Lena kisses her back. She cups the back of Kara's head with a broad palm, turning the whole affair into something far, far softer. And then there's the sweet shock of Lena's tongue, tracing the seam of Kara's lips, and it turns into something hot. And then Lena grabs a fistful of Kara's hair and pulls, kicking out hard against Kara's shin, panting the word Kara had tried so hard to steal off her tongue.
Safe.
Wait.
What?
Fucking ow! Lena yelps, hopping around on one stiletto while squeezing the toe of the other in her hand.
POTUS is in the house.
Wynn's voice booms out, loud and jarring, sounding profoundly, bewilderingly, relieved. His exclamation triggers a chain of events that seem to all happen at once. Kara rears back in a startled reflex, horrified to have caused Lena pain. Lena's frantic hopping knocks Kara's glasses down her nose, allowing her to enjoy the full benefit of her X-ray vision. In her effort to avert her eyes from the freckled resplendence revealed to her, Kara spots a device embedded in the very wall against which she's kissed Lena.
Kissed? Lena Luthor, who just told her she wants to save the president.
And finally, Kara mumbles some half-assed and absurdly improbable excuse for how easily the concrete crumbles when she digs in her fingers to reveal...
Huh.
A loaf of American cheese? Lena's breath leaves her in a rush.
Semtex.
A bomb? Really?
Wynn asks, clearly disappointed.
I gotta admit,
Alex says,
I was kind of expecting the Luthers to be a little more creative than that.
Kara crouches down beside it in the grass. The thing is still half lodged in the wall, tangled in cling wrap and electrical wires. The timer attached to it has 17 minutes left on the clock. Kara agrees that it's a little anticlimactic. Lena seems to feel the same. Of course, she sighs, rolling her eyes. Luthers always have a backup plan.
Kindly get rid of it, Alex says. Chuck it into the atmosphere or something. Try not to hit the International Space Station this time.
But there's a sort of significant snag in that plan. Lena, Kara urges, you need to get out of here.
What are you doing? You can't let her go,
Alex says.
She just tried to blow up the president and all of her fancy friends.
No, she didn't, Kara thinks. And this is not how Kara Zor-El is going to come out to Lena Luthor, especially when they've just kissed. Please, she tells Lena.
But Lena ignores her, hiking up her gown before kneeling down beside her in the grass.
Explosives, she tisks. Stay classy, Lillian.
What's the hold-up, Supergirl?
Wynn says.
Time to...
he whistles.
Up, up and away.
Hey, so how about I stay here, Kara tells Lena, and you go find someone to dismantle that for us?
Lena doesn't move.
The mechanism is extremely basic, she says. No booby traps. All I need to do is...
And as Kara looks on in frozen terror, Lena's graceful, vulnerable fingers choose a wire and pluck it from the orange substance with the almost bored nonchalance of a burnt-out EOD specialist. Inside the ballroom, the jazz band starts playing Hail to the Chief. Kara heaves a very careful breath of relief, standing up and offering Lena her hand.
That easy, huh? She says.
That easy, Lena confirms. She's smirking, almost cheeky, her posture loose like her hair, which must have freed itself from her updo somewhere between Kara carrying her out of the ballroom and their kiss.
Now I just need to go find...
She freezes. Kara's ears perk up. Something is beeping. Kara's gaze flicks to the diffuse explosive at their feet.
Was it making that sound before?
End of chapter 2.